Good morning. First I'll do introductions and I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. So my name is Jason Githens. I'm a program manager lead on the Intune team.
And I'm Dilip Radhakrishnan. I'm Jason's colleague. I'm another program manager lead on the Intune team.
So let's just jump right in. And thanks for coming out on the last morning of the last day of the conference. I appreciate you guys making the time to attend. Our agenda today is I'm going to start off with an enterprise mobility overview. That's just going to speak to our underlying strategy generally around device management across the various layers of services in our product suite. Then we're going to get into the scenarios for corp-owned devices. What is a corp-owned device? What distinguishes that from a bring-your-own device or personal device used for business purposes? What's the distinction between those two? We've got some very specific enrollment capabilities coming in our next couple of releases around iOS, and Dilip will cover those in depth, inclusive of things like the Apple Configurator, the device enrollment program. We're also going to walk through another form of enrollment that's key in our upcoming releases around conditional access, which is a way to force users to enroll, and it would apply to corporate-owned or personally-owned, but it forces users to enroll to get access to corporate resources, so it's another form of corporate enrollment. Then we're going to talk about some enrollment opportunities or enrollment possibilities, I should say, for other corp-owned devices, Windows-based, Android-based, a new device enrollment admin that we have that allows an individual service account to enroll up to 1,000 devices. We'll get into that, and then we'll talk about the device security and lockdown. How do you get a device into a kiosk mode, for example? A kiosk mode would be, say, a hotel lobby system that you only want to run the browser on. You want the volume buttons disabled and to only run that application. And we'll talk about our lockdown and security policies for across the platforms for those devices, for those types of devices and use cases. So let me, being Friday and having been in multiple sessions, you probably have seen a form of this, if not this exact slide, but I'll go over it quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But I want to talk about the basics of our enterprise mobility platform, and that's O365, the enterprise mobility suite, bound together by Azure Active Directory for identity. And then a myriad of device types that talk to those services. And managed mobile productivity is really about the end user being successful at their job, being productive in a non-intrusive way, but at the same time, data is being protected by IT. Corporate data is being protected, and when I say corporate data in a corporate-owned case, there are multiple layers of that. Some policies, for example, might be device-based. The device-based policy might be disabling a camera on a manufacturing tablet or tablet used on the manufacturing line so they don't take pictures of the newest gadget coming down the line. And that speaks to the second bullet here of layered protection. That's one level of protection. Another level of protection is the application management, or sometimes called wrapping, whereby the applications themselves are protected on the device from talking to other applications or from copy and paste, from putting stuff in a browser, accidentally leaking information through Facebook that's sensitive, things like that. And that's really around the app ecosystem on that device. And then the third layer of security there is a part of the enterprise mobility suite with RMS, and that's protecting the actual data itself, wherever it's stored through encryption and signing. And then the hybrid solutions just speaks really to the interconnectivity of the services above, as well as the interconnectivity of Configuration Manager and Intune. So from a strategic standpoint, that's our ecosystem. And that's applicable to corp-owned devices, applicable to managed personally-owned devices. But I wanted to level set with that before we get into the very specific scenarios around the corporate-owned device. So what is a corporate-owned device? Well, there's a pretty large world of these. When we started with Intune, we started our MDM play with Intune a couple of years ago. The market at that point was really focused on the bring-your-own-device scenario, and the platforms themselves were focused on the bring-your-own-device scenario. Well, funny thing happened on the way down that road is that these form factors became really, they became really viable. When I say form factors, I mean the tablet, the phone. They became really, they crossed into other use cases. And I'll talk about some of those use cases here. But the choose your own device or the corporate owned device ecosystem is really exploding. And so therefore, we're making a lot of investments to support that that change in direction, not change in direction, but that additional scenario for these types of devices. And you'll see these things, and I'll get into more details around these are. For example, department stores. Sometimes you may go to the shoe department and you pay on an iPod Touch with a card reader on it. You may be going to shop for a wedding at a wedding registry, and you'll be handed a tablet to pick, you know, to see what your friends have registered for. These are the types of use cases that you're starting to see in retail, and there are many others. Those are just a couple of examples. But those devices are owned by the corporation. They have a very specific function. They're not meant to be used for email or surfing the web. They're really meant to be used for one or two specific applications, and that's it. That's what the device is for. You sometimes in restaurants, you'll even see, you know, the hostess will have a tablet to take you to your table. This used to be, maybe a PC or a laptop at the hostess stand. It might have been an embedded device, but we're really seeing the uptake of Android devices, iPads, tablets, Windows tablets, as these, as hostess tablets, and even one of our customers uses them for their monitoring equipment for all of their, kitchens in their restaurants, and it's a global chain. So they use those, but that's a very specific app that they want to run. Again, those devices are supposed to be used for that use case, not for just a machine to go off and hit the internet. We see these in hospitals. We see them in schools for educational-based learning initiatives, where it's a student tablet initiatives, where the student gets a tablet. It's, obviously being a student, they really need the device safe. The student shouldn't be able to, go to inappropriate content on the web, things like that. So that's another growing use case for the tablet, and another important scenario for us to think about and support. And then finally, there's been a big movement in the airline industry to move these big flight manuals, these hundreds of page flight manuals, to tablets. To one, to just save on convenience for the pilot, and two, actually save on fuel, because you don't have hundreds of pounds of paper you have to drag through the airport and onto every airplane. And so we've worked with a couple of airline customers on the flight manual strategies, and that's a similar thing that it's a similar use case to some of the others, just a slightly different pivot on it, where the important thing on these devices is assuring the content is on those devices, that it's secure, and that that's what the device is used for, that it's also not Angry Birds at 35,000 feet. So what are the management needs of these types of devices? Well, first and foremost, there's a multitude of platforms and form factors. There's, like I mentioned, iPod Touch is one example that a retailer might use for a credit card scanner. There's the tablets, the iPad they might use for the gift registry. Then there's the Android tablet that might be used in the restaurant to manage monitor kitchen equipment. Then there are, on and on and on. And then there's the Windows tablets that might be used in the cockpit. So the number one need for these devices, and very similar to a personally owned device that talks to corporate resources, is protecting corporate resources. That resource can be data. That resource could be physical, in the assembly line example, whereby you might want to disable the camera on the device to make sure sensitive photos aren't being taken of the next new gadget that's coming out. And you also want to protect the data on that device through the application management that I talked about, and the conditional access, things like that. You want to ensure that the device is enrolled in management so the data is protected, and you also want to make sure that device can't be unenrolled. We're going to talk about some of the options for enrolling a corporate device, as I mentioned in the agenda. And one of the key things there is that it can't be easily unenrolled, because there's one example where a big school system bought a bunch of devices and then realized that the students, to get out of restrictions, were just unenrolling their devices. So that they had to rethink the whole strategy after that. So that's a key part of it, is that the device can't just be taken out of management to do what you want with it. So we've accounted for that both in our new device enrollment administrator and through the supervised mode process that Dilip's going to walk through as configured through Apple Configurator and later through the device enrollment program through Apple as a couple of examples. The other one is where the fourth bullet down is related to our conditional access policies, and that's basically assuring that devices are blocked from corporate resources if they aren't compliant. Then there needs to really be, and I think the fifth bullet there is probably the most important, is that this process needs to be simple, low cost, easy to do. A lot of, in the state that a lot of MDM is in now, I mean, Apple's making inroads with device enrollment program. There's some stuff coming in Windows 10 that I'll touch on. But it's a lot of hands-on right now. You know, you've got a system integrator or an IT department that lines up devices and does a bunch of manual enrollments. And that's fine when you have tens, maybe 100 of devices, and you get into thousands, that becomes incredibly cumbersome and expensive. So we really need to focus on enrollment paths that aren't that cumbersome and expensive. And when we'll talk about some of those and how we're approaching that and what we're doing about that. Second from the last is just the deep lockdown of policies. How do you restrict to a specific application? For example, you may just want the browser to run so customers of your hotel can check in for their flights, and it's restricted to a set of websites. And then the last one is, I think last but certainly not least, is rapidly supporting new platform capabilities. If a key new capability comes out in, say, iOS 8 that you need for your corporate-owned device ecosystem, then we need to be able to support that quickly through Intune. And in the very near term, and our goal is to always be as rapidly iterate and support the new capabilities, but we're also providing a shortcut to that through this new URI model that we're including in Intune. URI is basically a way to author your own policies before we even have a chance to make the admin UI updated to have those policies in it. It's a way to author your own policy. For those of you familiar with SCCM, it's similar to the DCM feature of SCCM where you can author your own policies through this URI model and then deliver those down to the devices day zero of them coming into your environment. And then you don't have to wait. If we're 3 or 4 days late with getting the UI updated, you can deliver those policies right away. So it's a way to rapidly apply those policies to iOS, to Windows devices. And with that, I will cut over to Dilip for iOS device enrollment.
Thanks, Jason. Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to do a quick walkthrough of some of the three most common patterns that we see with the bulk enrollment of iOS devices. The scenario number one is a corporation or an education institution tries to go buy the devices, gets it delivered to them, and then they do the initial configuration and setup before they can hand it over to the employee. So that will be achieved through a combination of Apple Configurator and Intune, and I'm going to show you a demo of that. The second scenario is a zero-touch scenario. This is the direction that Apple is heading, where if you buy the devices in bulk directly from Apple, and you can have through the device enrollment program, set up a connection to the Intune service, then in that case, the devices can directly be delivered to whoever your users are. The first time they power on, it's already set up in such a way that it can go talk to Intune service, enroll, get managed with whatever policies and configurations that you've created. And the third scenario, as Jason said, is the companies go and just give you a reimbursement. The users go and pick up their own devices. They buy an iPhone or a Windows phone or an Android device, and then you still have to manage those devices because you are still paying for it. It's a corporate asset, but you need to manage that. So that's the third scenario that I'll show how to achieve that through conditional access feature. So let's start with the first one. So the Apple Configurator, as most of you know, it's a free application. It's available on Mac OS computers. So it enables your IT department to connect either one device at a time or up to 30 devices using the cart like what you see there. You can connect up to 30 devices and do that. But the key requirement is they have to be connected to your Mac. So there is a bunch of steps, and I'm going to walk you through all the process. And it also lets you enable a supervised mode where you can actually lock down the device and put it into some specific constraints. So when you launch the Apple Configurator, you'll see three different workflows. There's a workflow to prepare your devices, which is where bulk of the integration happens with MDM, and I'll show you how to set up an MDM enrollment to Intune from the prepare step. The supervised devices, as I said earlier, the lockdown, it enables advanced restrictions. And then there's a third tab that they have for assigning devices. This is more for a check-in and check-out of devices. You can create user groups, both on your in the tool or connected to your LDAP server. But we don't recommend normally going down that path because we have much better user device affinity features in Intune to manage how your devices are getting assigned so that you can get a single console where you can look at all the devices, not just the iOS devices for that user. So this is the workflow. I don't know if it's clear enough, but I'll walk you through it. So the first phase is the customer process. So you order the iPads. It's now been delivered to your shop. So you've now got the device with you. There's a couple of things you have to then come into the Intune admin console to do. Step one is you go and create a group, a collection for your bulk enrolled devices, like whatever groups you want these enrolled devices to show up in. And you also create a service account, and you can assign, you can either do one of two options. You can let the end user do the enroll using their credentials, in which case the iPad gets associated with that user, or you as an IT admin can enroll on behalf of, say, 1,000 users. So, and Jason will talk about more when he gets into that detail. But either case, what happens is then you have to make a decision as to what is the end user experience going to be when they enroll the iPad devices. So one option is the top path is the setup assistant path, which gives you the option to, say, completely wipe whatever is on the iOS device, restore it to factory defaults, and then put whatever enrollment profile and your lockdown configuration. So that will walk them through those steps. So that is the setup assistant path. You have a second choice. If you don't want to wipe and reload, you just want to keep the iOS device with whatever information that is there, then you can do the second option, which is the export and MDM profile, the Apple Configurator profile, and then we can directly push that through to the device. So I'm going to show you this in a demo.
So real quick, Dilip, so the service account-based enrollment would be just power up the device and start using it. The user base would be they'd be prompted for their AAD credentials in that first boot experience.
Yeah, so in the service account-based thing, it's still the prompting the user account, but it's the IT admin providing his user account, bulk enrollment account.
Okay.
Great. So let me first start with the Intune admin console. So what you're looking at is the new version of Intune Admin Console that's coming up. One of the features that you'll see here is called a device enrollment profile. So I have created some enrollment profiles for kiosk devices, retail iPads. So let me create a new profile. So I'm going to buy some iPads for my sales team. So I'm going to create a list of a sales iPad profile. So here is where, as Jason was pointing out, you have the choice. Do you want to enroll this device with any kind of user prompt, or there's no user affinity at all? It's just the device shows up in your MDM system with no mapping to any user, and then you just manage that device using device targeting. So in this particular case, I could say, yeah, I need it for a prompt for user affinity, and then I select that these are the different device collections that, so when the enrollment happens, it'll automatically put that into this device collection. That's what it does.
And then that's important. The device collection piece is important because that's how you achieve that first policy and app set to the device right away without somebody having to go into the console and then add the device to the right group to get the right policies and apps. So it'll start life in the right group so it gets the policies and apps right away after the first after the enrollment process. You have a question right here? So the question is, if you don't want user interaction, so you just want the device to just enroll?
Yeah. So in which case, you choose the no user affinity, just the device enrollment option, and that's... Yeah, I'll show you how that happens here. Okay. So the next step in that workflow is you have to go in. There are two options, as we said. You can either use the user's own account, or this is the service account that we talked about. There is going to be a role called Device Enrollment Managers. You can designate one of your users to be that role, or you can add a new user in your Intune credential, and you can then enroll up to 1,000 of these devices with that user account. So when you go into the groups collection, so there is a predefined group that we are adding called all corporate-owned devices. So when you click on that, so you can see that I have uploaded a few devices. So you have two options here. You can go through add devices workflow and upload a CSV file with all the serial numbers of the devices that you've already purchased. So we have a record of all your devices in our system, and then we'll be able to assign that enrollment profile to those devices. Or you manually keep adding those serial numbers. You can just do multi-add, like keep adding them on this UI. So whatever is the simpler and easier form, you do that. So let's take one of those devices that we have created. So go back to the policy node. And in the device enrollment profiles, so I'm going to choose, say, a kiosk policy or a retail iPads has already something. So let me go and assign these users. So you can see that that particular profile is going to be assigned a set of iPads that you can choose from the list that you added either manually or through the import of CSV. And this is the step that will be redundant in the DEP program, because this device list will directly come to you from the Apple service. So I'm going to cancel out. So you've got the devices assigned. So I have this with the user affinity. I have two devices associated with it already. So I'm going to do an export. So what happens when I do the export is these are the two options. If I want to export and have the experience through the setup assistant enrollment path that I showed in the workflow, then you just have to copy-paste this into your clipboard and then have it ready to be available on the Mac device. And I'll show you where to insert it so that the profile in the iPad already has the information ready for your MDM enrollment. And the second option is the direct enrollment, which is instead of doing the URL for enrolling to the service, you just export a config file, a .mobile config, which you can again import into the Apple configurator and then push it out to the iPad. So let's jump to the Mac device and see. Now, in this case, I've taken the URL and I've already copied it over. So in the Apple configurator, as you can see, there are these three tabs, the prepare, supervise, and assign. So I'm in the prepare tab. So you have the settings. You can push applications through volume purchase program. But what we're really doing is the initial setup. So here are the steps that the user might be prompted during the initial setup process if you go through the setup assistant. But you can choose to keep certain steps or ignore other steps. So you can say, OK, I don't want to bother them with these steps. And then I go in and configure a few settings. The first thing we recommend is definitely put in a Wi-Fi profile. So that this is very critical, because you need to have an internet connection on the device. Because when it's done a factory reset and it comes up, it needs to talk to the MDM service, so it needs to have a Wi-Fi profile. So set that up. And then you can optionally also deploy certificates through it, but that can also come later through the Intune service as a part of our post-MDM enrollment. So in the device enrollment, here's the option for MDM server URL. So I have already copy-pasted from the other device the URL to talk to the Intune service in the cloud. So what happens is when I save this and I hit prepare, I'm not connected because it's going to take a while to prepare an iPad. I'll switch and show the baked show and the cooking show, where I show you actually the device with the iPad, what the experience is going to be. But what's happening in this workflow is you created a enrollment profile in Intune. You said these iPads need to have this enrollment profile. Then you come into the Apple configurator and then punch in that same enrollment profile, the URL, and the profile information. And then you connect your iPads and hit prepare. Then these devices are ready for MDM enrollment. So what?
So that's that point. You can just send the device out to your branch offices.
Exactly.
They turn them on, and okay.
Exactly. So let's take a look at what the end user experience is going to be, or even the IT admin if he is doing the enrollment on behalf of the users. So I'm going to escape out and show you. So this is a recording I captured so that we don't waste time here seeing this. It takes a few minutes. So this is at the last stage of the preparation that I showed you. So I have exported it. I'm doing a prepare of the iPad. So the iPad is getting the profile, the enrollment information, everything set up inside that. So once that export process completes, should be done in a minute, so it completed. So I'm going to switch over and show what is the experience for the first time when the iPad is powered on. So I've got an iPad, which is now prepared. So when I power it on, So the first thing it is going to do is the basic customizations, which is like it'll ask me to say, choose your language, and the next step, choose your country or selection. And then the Wi-Fi network, is, if it's already set up and connected, see, it's ready to go, so I don't have to do any additional step. And I want to pause here and explain this. So what's happened here is at this point, the service information is available, and the iPad is already connecting, and it's ready to download the MDM profile and start installing the profile on the iPad. So this message that you say Microsoft can automatically configure, that's because I connected to my dog food environment in Microsoft. So this would be a message to your user saying, Contoso Corporation is going to set up your iPad for you. So when you do that step, so you go down and choose the apply configuration. And so here in this case, if you remember, in the demo I had showed you that I needed a user device affinity. So I said you have to enter a username and password, because let's assume this was a company owned but personal use device. So I want to know which user is actually getting the iPad. And I could also alternatively choose to use the service account here, as Jason mentioned. Like I could log in and just enroll on behalf of the other users. So I go and enter this username and password. So this is the part that triggers the post-enrollment, the association of this tablet to this user account in Intune. So I do join, and it's in the process of logging into our environment and doing the connectivity. It gets the profile in the background, and it's installing all the configuration, and it's good to go. So the one thing you would notice is, unlike a typical end-user-initiated MDM enrollment, you would not even be prompted for all the certs and everything. It's actually a smooth background process that goes through that.
There's a question in the front here.
Yeah.
It's a one-time only. It's a first-run experience, yeah.
And what's happened at this point is all the applications that you have through Intune, all the policy settings that Jason is going to show you, all that's going to come in and apply on the device right after the enrollment. So the first experience, the user, he gets all the applications and the settings and the exact experience you want on the device configured. Yeah, one more question.
Yeah. Sorry. It's AAD. The question was, what is the account that's being used there? It's the AAD account. Yeah, it's the Azure Active Directory account that you're being prompted for. Because that's from my first slide, that's the identity service that Intune and O365 are built on, so.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to the presentation mode. So now that we saw the...
Oh, wait, one more question here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
But if you have, like, say, 1,000 iPads, and you configure it by using one account, how does it impact the licensing?
Let me, I'll talk about that new service account enrollment in my section, so can you just hold that for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Cool. So now that we saw the first method of doing that enrollment scenario, let's move on to the, there's a couple of other things. As I said earlier, if you see any issues with the install information on the profile, then it's most likely because either the iOS device, you didn't set up a Wi-Fi network properly, or it's had airplane mode turned on or something. Because if it can't connect out to the network and get to the MDM server or service, it's not going to work. So that's one thing. And since in that demo that I showed you, where I chose the setup assistant path, that will always bring down the latest version of the iOS from Apple and put it on the device. So what you need to do is make sure that the Mac computer that you're using to set up the device is also internet connected, because that could be another reason why the failure happens. So moving on, Apple obviously, as you can see, there's a little bit of high touch process. I switched from the Intune console, I went into a Mac, and I did a whole bunch of things there, and then I jumped to the end user workflow. That's the common concern and feedback that Apple started addressing with the device enrollment program. So what is this DEP? It's a new streamlined program where you can, for iOS and Mac devices, directly purchase them from Apple, and then it gives you a zero-touch configuration. You really don't have to go to have a Mac. You don't need to set up anything there. I'm going to show you how that magic happens. It also introduced the enhanced supervised mode. So what it gives you is the improved ability, as Jason mentioned. There were a lot of negative press release about Apple and the support of how easy it was for end users to go and unenroll their profile, right? And then that device is no longer under management. So What they have done is with the DEP, there's an enhanced supervisor mode. You can actually lock down the profile from being uninstalled. So they've done that. And as I said, there is no need for any kind of Mac configurator tool. So can I just finish the flow and take the question? Sorry. So what I wanted to show here main is that all the steps you had in the previous workflow, you can see that it's completely simplified. There is no step for Apple configurator. Instead, the workflow has changed to the point that in the initial setup, you need to set up a connection between the Intune service and the Apple DEP program service. So that's a very simple two-step process. You set up the connection, then every time you purchase devices or procure devices, it will automatically get synced into your system, and then you can start just assigning a default profile that will be used for enrollment, or you can create collections and a custom profile targeted for that. And then you don't even have to get the devices to you. If you have a globally distributed setup, you can directly have the devices shipped to whatever location, and once they are all powered on, it's always going to try to connect through the Apple program, talk to Intune service, and get all the information it needs for enrollment. So let's do a walkthrough, because this is a feature that's not shipping in my immediate next release, but it's already, as you can see from the screenshots, it'll be developed and available as the next update. But we have a pretty quick cadence, so we've been shipping features on a monthly basis. So the first step, as I said, is you need to go and establish the connectivity between the Intune service and the Apple service. So if you're familiar with Apple push notification services, you're already used to this kind of a workflow where you have to come to Intune to set up a code signing request, so certificate signing request. So you get that request from us, and then log in into the Apple portal for deploy.apple.com. Go with your user account, your corporate user account, and log in there. So you can see all the device information there. And then one of the options there is to say, go and upload this code certificate signing request. Once you upload it, the Apple portal will give you a token. And that token is the one that you come back into Intune and add it into the Intune system. So that establishes a handshake between the Intune service and the Apple service. So what you would see is after we've done that, on the top you see the account, the Apple ID account that was used to establish the connection, and then what was the last time it was updated. And you can see that the sync, by default, we sync with the service twice a day. So as and when new devices show up twice a day, they'll keep updated in your system. And then if you also know that there was something that just happened and you want to immediately get it into your system, you can force the sync directly. So you can hit sync now. So once you do that, we send a synchronization request to the iOS, to the Apple portal, and immediately start getting the data from Apple on new devices. So now the sync is completed. As you can see, the timestamp changed. So the first thing it did was go and bring all the device information from the Apple into the Intune system. And the key thing I want to point out is you have a couple of examples. You have an example of a device that is manually added through the Apple configurator route, and anything that's synced from the Apple service will show up as a DEP sync. So that is the indication that it came through the device enrollment program from the Apple system. So the other key things to note is you can also see that some of the devices that came from the DEP sync are in the enrolled state. It's say an iPhone 5 has enrolled, and then the other devices have still not yet contacted, which means the device is either being shipped or the user has not yet powered it on. So you can keep tracking to see what's happening to those devices. You already have it in your system, then you can track down and see why it's still not enrolled and do the follow-up. So the one additional thing you have to change is I showed you how to create an enrollment profile earlier in the basic case. With the DEP, in addition to specifying whether you need to have a user associated with it or not, there's one other step, which is configure the profile with DEP. Because in this particular case, these DEP enabled machines, when you power on, if something goes wrong, they need to know who to contact. So you can customize and say, here's the support number. And then you can also require that device is prepared in a supervised mode. And here's the setting that Jason said that this was a big embarrassment for Apple, but now they fixed it by saying you can lock the enrollment profile on the device to be enabled so that nobody can remove that profile. Only the MDM system can remove that profile. So that's the experience that I have for the DEP program. As I said, it's a feature that's coming shortly, but you can see that we have a very close partnership with Apple. Though we are Microsoft, we have our own devices. We love it. I carry my new Lumia phone, but we also support Android, Samsung, and Apple, all devices to the best capability of those platforms.
There was a question. Was it your hand that went up during that?
Of course, it's a great feature. Do you know
Yeah, so the question was, do we have any information on when Apple will be releasing device enrollment program in Europe? And the answer is no.
Yeah,
we know as much as the public knows. So
we had a meeting with them a couple of weeks back, and this was another topic that was discussed. So they're aware of it. Obviously, they're working through the rollout. So let's move to the third scenario. Now, we're in the scenario where a user has directly purchased the device on his own, and they're going to just get it reimbursed. So now the IT department still has to ensure that those are devices that are managed. So this is a scenario that we call the conditional access or secure access to our corporate resources. This is typically a BYOD scenario in the most common case, because users just use their personal devices to connect to email and corporate resources. There is always the concern that you don't have any control, like who's getting their email on what device. So we've introduced the ability to control and manage the flow of corporate data to those devices.
But it's also important for the choose your own device, whereby there's no intermediary between the user and the OEM. For example, if you can expense the phone you want from a list of 5 supported phones, there's really that device may never cross IT or the system integrator's hands. It may go directly to the user and not in a pre-configured state. It didn't come from the device enrollment program, for example. It came from the telco. In that case, this is another way for a corporate-owned device. It's a way to force enrollment, because if you want to, in the old way, if you wanted email, you just went in, configured an email, and email started flowing down. With this, they're not going to get that email until you go through these steps, and so it's not really bulk enrollment, but the device really isn't business usable until they do this process. So.
Excellent. So let's do a walkthrough. I'm just going to start with the IT admin experience again, and then show what's the end user experience for this demo. Okay, go back to my ThinkPad. Okay, I'm stuck here. My console is stuck. Okay, I'll come back to that in a minute. Can you? So let's start with the end user experience first. So what in the IT admin console I wanted to show you is how to set up a policy that says all my devices have to be compliant. They need to be MDM enrolled. They need to be having this password policy and all these policies in order for it to be compliant, and then only I get access to my corporate resources. So in this particular case, the user had purchased his own iPad. So he's trying to come in, and first thing is he'll try to set up a connection to his corporate email. So he gets this username password, he types it in, and then when he is done, all we did so far was just the user validation typically, but what we have done is enhanced it. So at this point, normally they would have got their email flowing, because it's a valid username and password, you get your email. But what we've done here is we've detected that it's not just the user is valid, but we don't know about this device. It's not a valid or managed device. So we've detected that and set it in Azure AD and say that this is not a managed device. And what Exchange Active Sync protocol does is goes and checks and says, it's not a managed device, so I'm going to put it in a quarantine state. So the only email that he'll get on this device is says, go enroll your device into management. And once you enroll the device, then you get access to all your data. So this will force them to, when they click on this, it takes it to the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, to the company portal application. So they install the application, and once they do this, open it and sign in. So here again, we can have an optional with the Enterprise Mobility Suite, an option for a second factor authentication, a multi-factor auth. So you can require that they get a phone, they validate who they are really, because in this day when user and password are stolen all the time, you don't want devices from unknown places and locations really connecting to your corporate network. So you have an option to turn on multi-factor auth here. So I sign in. So again, this is a new feature we added. We allow you to completely customize the terms and condition to whatever language and the user location you are in. So you can customize the terms and condition, and then you enroll the device. So what happens is when you do the install of the profile, really what's happening is two things are happening behind the scenes. So this is all standard Apple steps for actually getting the profile enrolled. So when the device enrolled, it did two things. It talked to the Intune service and put an Intune certificate, but also the second thing it did was talk to the Azure AD service and then get a workplace join certificate on the device. So it's a very important concept, because typically mobile devices, there is no good concept of identity. Is it an IMEI number? Is it your MAC address? What constitutes a good identity? So, and that's very critical for you to do this conditional access. So what we did was partnered with Azure AD team, and then there's a, now an identity record for this device in your directory in the cloud. So what that does is now Exchange Active Sync this again checks AD and sees that this is now a valid compliant device, so email starts flowing for that user. So what happened in this workflow was to show that you had a completely user-purchased corporate device that they were trying to get access to, but they won't get access till they become managed. So that way you can control and manage the system.
The console's back.
So the console is back, so yeah. Let me shift back to that and show the magic that we did behind the scenes.
It's going in reverse order.
So the two steps to it. The first step is you define your compliance policy. So I have a secure email access policy. So I said you need to have this password, this length. You need to have encryption turned on. You should have jailbreak detection turned on. And the other thing also we do is to make sure that the email profile really came pushed from MDM. Because if the user had manually created an email profile, that won't work when you try to do selective wipe on iOS devices. You need to make sure that MDM pushes that email profile, and only then they can their email can be wiped when they leave the company or they lose the device. So you do that as the first step, is to create a compliance policy. And then you come in and do this conditional access policy that lets you block or allow access to resources like email. And not only that, we are working with other services for Office like SharePoint, where you can even block eventually all the OneDrive for Business documents from syncing to these devices until those devices are controlled by IT department.
And as you can see here, through the grouping mechanism, you don't have to just, it says don't turn this all on for everyone. You can exclude or add people to this capability or this requirement. So, cool. Yes.
Can you repeat the question?
So the question is, let me see if I've got this right. If I have like contractors or vendors that come in, freelancers in your example, and they have a corporate profile that's temporary while they're there working, but then it goes away when they leave. Is that the? Okay.
Okay.
That's not a capability today. It's really a platform restriction. All platforms today are constrained to single MDM. So we've heard the feedback, but it's not something in the near term deliverables.
Yeah. So, and this is across iOS, Android, or Windows platform. None of them support enrollment into two different MDM services for the same device. Because then it becomes the policy conflict issues. What if different policies come from different sources, which one to honor and things like that. So right now it's a single MDM.
Yeah, well, we've heard that feedback, and we've actually had those conversations with Windows, but nothing on the roadmap as far as Windows 10 or Intune futures.
Okay.
And question here?
So in this particular scenario, what I showed, the conditional access is based on Azure AD. So they do have in their roadmap of syncing the Azure AD workplace joint to the on-prem AD that way. So right now, this is in Azure AD. Maybe that's actually a lead into how this scenario works. So what happened in the demo I showed you was the mail client tried to connect to EAS to get email, and then that checked with Azure AD to see, is this a valid device? So normally, it would have just been a user authentication. Here, what we've done is integrated with AD to do a user plus a device authentication. And in this particular case, it was a brand new device. No record existed in AD for this. So it is blocked and put into a quarantine state. And that is what triggered that email that I showed you. Again, a customization where we worked with the Exchange service in Office 365, where we actually had them to integrate with Intune to provide the customization. And then once the user does the enrollment, we are able to get the device record in AD saying that this is now managed and compliant. So then when next time the Exchange Active Sync tries to sync, it is able to get the emails down. So as you can see, it's a great example of a one Microsoft story where we have a tight integration between our identity system, our management, mobile management system, and the productivity suite, which is Office. So that's the main part benefit you get of a comprehensive solution. So with that, I'll hand it back to Jason.
Okay. Thanks, Dilip. So the next part I'm going to jump right into is the device enrollment manager role. The device enrollment manager is a new role that we added that there's a question here. Okay, so the question is from a compliance point of view, what user information is stored in Azure Active Directory? And I'm assuming you mean through federated, through syncing from on-prem Active Directory? Obviously, because... Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff online. It's beyond the scope of what I'm going to go into in depth in this. We can talk after if you want, and I can point you to some resources. But yeah, it's a good question. It's just we could spend about an hour on that. So
you can talk to us offline. There's a new tool called Azure AD Sync and Connect that will let you really pick and choose which attributes of user are really syncing to the cloud.
Exactly, so, and I want to avoid getting into that too deep right now. But it's a good question. So the device enrollment manager, in the current model for Intune, as you probably know, we have a 5 device per user limit. And you can still define a service account. The problem is, and we have one big retail customer, a big hospitality customer that has this problem, is that they have 1,500 outlets, and they have to basically have a service account per store because there are about 5 devices per store. And it's just it's a pain to manage 1,000 or 1,500 service accounts. It's a pain to manage 5 service accounts. So with this model, you can define one service account in Azure Active Directory and attach that to basically 1,000 devices. The benefit here is, well, twofold. One, it's fewer service accounts you have to administer. And the second part goes down to the third bullet here, is that it limits what's available in the company portal for cross-device wiping. In the current company portal architecture, for example, for bring your own device, you see all of your devices. Well, imagine that the Surface account user sees every device in the business and can wipe 999 other devices when they get mad because they got laid off. We wanted to limit what you could do through the portal to other devices and to your own device. So we did some special case things in the company portal so that when you're enrolled in a service account context, we don't expose the ability to unenroll. And that's inclusive of the web portal as well, because these are corporate-owned devices. You're using a service account to enroll them, and they really have to stay enrolled to continue to be usable for business purposes, usable and protected for business purposes. The second bullet's just an example of how you might do this. For example, you might create a service account in AAD called service or sales clerk, and then you make that your account in Intune. And I'm not going to cut over to a demo because Dilip touched on where that is in the UI. But you'd add sales clerk to that as that account, and that account has a unique password, and that goes to all of your sales clerks at all your department stores. That's the device that's going to be used by all your sales clerks at all your department stores. One of the nice things about that, aside from the convenience of being able to enroll 1,000 devices with that one account, is that you can then target that one account in any device associated with it through user-based targeting. So if the sales clerk devices proxied by the sales clerk account always get the shoe sales app and a browser, or not a browser, an office app. I'm just making stuff up on the fly. They get a couple of key apps that they need for their business. You target that account, and then any device that gets enrolled in that context will then get those policies. You don't have to figure out what device DX17555 is. If it was enrolled with the right account, it's associated to the right use case and can be targeted with the right policy and app set. So that's, and then there was a good question, and I don't talk about it here, but I will bring it up since the question was asked, and that was around licensing. What is our licensing model here? Well, this isn't meant to be a shortcut as a way to get a better license count by using the service account, since we do charge per user. And we're still working with our, to be honest, we're still working with our product planning team on how we're going to do the license piece here. Initially, it's just going to be notification that, you know, hey, you've got this. Are you licensed to the right number of devices with a divider of by five for all the devices associated with that service account, are you licensed for that many devices if they were represented by that many users? So it's basically we're just going to kind of trust and verify at the beginning, but we're still working through how we're going to do long-term license management with the service account model. And we're just counting on you guys not to abuse it out of the gate. So this is another, when I say other platforms, this is, I'm talking a little bit about, I'm going to go a little bit into Windows 10 here. This is the new image and configuration designer, and I took this right out of my OS deployment session that I did on Tuesday, but it does have applicability to bulk enrollment or corporate enrollment of Windows 10 devices, and this is obviously not available yet as part of Windows 10. But the key thing here, and the best way to think about this, is what Dilip just showed you with iOS Configurator Windows will have its own version of the same thing. So with the Windows Image and Configuration Designer, you can create this object called a provisioning package, which is like a config file or a configurator file in iOS terms, that can be, it can control your first boot experience of Windows the same way that the iOS Configurator configures that experience in iPads. So what you can do is you can have a first run experience automation that might be the enrollment of the MDM. It can apply the Wi-Fi profiles, certificates, very similar to what Dilip already walked through with iOS Configurator, but on Windows terms. That provisioning package can then be added to the device through multiple means, SD card, USB, NFC, tethered to a PC. So a really cool way to think about this, and this is, I can't wait to see this all work end to end, is that, you know, in that hospitality example I gave, if you had an NFC tag in the store manager's office and they get a new vanilla device that came directly from, say, the store across the street, they walk in, they tap that device to the NFC tag, that puts the provisioning package on there, they reboot it, and it's ready for business right after that. It didn't have to go through a system integrator process. They just tap the NFC tag, reboot the device, the provisioning package is laid down, Wi-Fi is enabled, it enrolls into Intune, it gets all its policies, and away they go and they use it for business. Then he drops it in the fryer, and it burns up, goes and gets another one, taps it to the NFC tag, and does the same thing. So it really simplifies that onboarding experience of a vanilla image device without the overhead, the traditional overhead of Windows imaging, whereby you've got to go through and put a new image on the device or get a custom image. It can really customize that image through the provisioning package at first run of that Windows device, whether that be mobile or desktop versions of Windows. It'll work on both. So really excited about this tool. I think this is going to be super helpful for Windows provisioning. So I wanted to bring it up. It's unfortunately not available now, and nothing I can demo on it, but it is, it's going to be a pretty cool deal when we get this all done. So this is the last section based from the agenda. This is the locking down and restricting corporate devices. And a device lockdown, conceptually it's pretty simple. It's locking the device down to a very specific function, and by function I really mean app. So you can lock down to a single managed app. You can configure device attributes that you may not want enabled for the use case of the device. For example, in the hotel lobby experience, you don't want someone mucking with the volume, turning it on and off. You want to disable screen rotation, perhaps. The key thing is that the end user cannot modify this device state, and it's available. We have lockdown available on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone 8.1, and that. The only caveat of the 8.1 thing is that will be available through that new URI model initially, and then we'll get it into full UX experience later. But it's available on all platforms. And then there's application allow deny. Application allow deny is, well, it's what it sounds like. It allows you to allow a specific application, which commonly called whitelisting, so only allow this app to run, which basically says no other app can run but that app. And then there's also deny, which means that only that app is blocked, but all other applications can run. And you'd either use one or the other. You would either explicitly say only this app can be used, or only these five apps can't be used. Right now, or at least in our upcoming release, we'll allow block and allow on Windows Phone 8.1. And we'll have reporting on blocked and allowed applications for iOS and Android, with full block coming at a future release. And there's a question here. Yeah. So the question is, so can you repeat the question? Sorry, I can't really hear well there. So the question is integration with external vendors to have some rating system to really build intelligently build the app list, as opposed to having to go manually pick. No plans yet. That's a good point, though. I mean, right now it's basically you just have to know the apps that you don't want to allow. I mean, it would be like, for example, I think we have like Facebook up here. Not that we have any problems with Facebook. But maybe you're blocking that because it's your marketing department and they have access to sensitive information, and you don't want them launching the Facebook app to then share corporate data from. So it's a good point. It is manual, or at least there's some tribal knowledge of what apps you want to explicitly block or allow at this point. Yeah, so let me just cut over to the demo here. So under configuration policies, and first off, I'm going to walk through. I'm just going to walk through the kiosk scenario. Just show you like an iPad kiosk policy. So what we have here is obviously the name of the policy being iPad kiosk, and then the policy that we're actually applying to this device is only allowing the Bing apps. So it's a little bit, it's easy when I've got it already pasted in there, but it's like, well, you may be wondering, how do you get that URL to figure out how to block the app? It's not the greatest experience yet, I'll be honest. You actually have to go search Google or Bing, search for the app itself, say Bing for iPad, and when you get the result return, you take that URL and you put it in here, or you click the browse button and you put it in the browse window to get the app ID, and then we generate the ID that we block against. So there are a couple steps to obtain the app ID. I want to make that better in the future, but for this release, you do have to do some manual research to get the URL, the ID of the app, put it into this workflow, and then go from there. So I didn't want to pretend that there was some magic going on to determine what that is. But for example, if I do select store app here, the app that I found through search, I would paste here, and then we would resolve that string back to what you saw in the console there. So, you know, we want to make that better in the future, but for now, you do have to do some manual lifting to get that application identity. And then I'll just go through some of the other settings here, and this is for the iPad case. I'm not going to walk through all of them, but, you know, allow screen rotation, allow volume buttons, or enable speech selection. Whatever's exposed on the device, we will expose here and let those values be configured. So before I leave the console and go over to the projector, I'm going to just go back out of this and show one more example, and I'll actually create this one on the fly. So what I do here is, and as you can see here, we're now grouping our policy sets by platform, and our launch point is by platform. We originally were trying to have a streamlined experience where they cross platforms, but capabilities and terms are so different across the platforms, you end up with this huge, messy interface, like, is it going to work on iOS? Is that for Windows only? Whatever. So we're now doing the launch points for these new policy types from the platform itself. So in this case, I'm going to pick the Windows Phone configuration policy, and I'm just going to I'm just going to block Skype in this example. Just pull that out of thin air. And so what I'm going to choose here is block devices from opening the listed apps. I'm going to add the application. And this is just where I named the app.
We've lost Wi-Fi on that, so don't browse.
I've lost what?
I think the Wi-Fi is gone.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I already have it in my clipboard. One second, I'm just getting the URL real quick. So I put that in there. That has the that'll block the Skype app, and away I go. So deploy that policy out. I've already done that, so I'll cancel this one here, and now I'll cut over to the two devices to show the experiences that I just set up in the console. My hand model part. So let's see. So this, I'll first show the iPad experience. So I, not all that exciting, but I, as you can see, there's no way I can get out of the context of the Bing app here. That's all that's going to be shown on the device. And when I rotate it, since I blocked rotation, it won't rotate the screen. And that is about the extent of that exciting demo. I'll cut over now. Trying not to make everyone too dizzy moving devices around. And actually, I have a funny story about this next part of the demo. I had a demo phone that I was supposed to use, and I dropped it packing up to get ready for the conference. So I said, well, I have my own phone. Let me just enroll my own phone in our dog food environment and block Skype. Well, I forgot to unblock Skype before I left, and our internal environment's internal only, and I haven't VPN connection in a while. So I've had Skype blocked on my phone this entire week, so I haven't been able to Skype my children, but maybe that was by design, I don't know. But, but anyway, I have Skype blocked out here, and I won't be able to unblock Skype until I get back to Redmond. But so enough of my woes. Let me just show the, if I can get it to scroll here. So, you can see the Skype app here, and if I tap on it, I just get a message that the app is disabled and I can't open it. So if I wanted to be clever and work around that and try to remove the Skype app and then go back to the store and reinstall it, it would also be blocked at that point as well. So I really cannot use Skype on this phone until I unlock that application. I could actually unenroll it, and I'd get my Skype back, but I didn't want to do that because I had to use it for the demo. So I guess after the session, I can unenroll it and get Skype back. Last brief section, and then we can have more Q&A, is really, this is a placeholder just, oh, I haven't switched back, sorry. I want to talk a little bit more. I mentioned the image and configuration designer tool in Windows 10. Hopefully you've seen some of the Windows 10 stuff this week. There's a ton of great enterprise stuff coming in Windows 10, way more than I could cover here, and that's not really the focus of this session. But the other key, in parallel with the image and configuration designer, the other key Windows capability I wanted to call out or that's coming up is this Azure Active Directory logon, which is a great way that users can take, you take a device and user can use their corporate credentials. They can choose in the first run experience, this is a corporate owned device, they put in their Azure Active Directory credentials, they go through and join Azure Active Directory in that through those credentials, and we're integrating with that process so that MDMs can be auto-enrolled on from there too. So all they do is then, instead of the MSA process or the Microsoft account process today where you put in your Microsoft account and then go and basically register your device that way, this will be a process where you can take your Azure Active Directory account, basically the user gets a piece of paper with their AAD account and password, or if you're federated, it's just their domain account. They put in those credentials, it goes through a first run experience when they first boot, says corporate owned device, put in the credentials. If you have two-factor auth, then it will induce a secondary form of authentication. They enroll the device, the IT can define a service URL in Azure Active Directory that points them to the right MDM, be that Intune or another MDM, and then it will also auto-enroll their device into that MDM at the same time. So without any touching of it through the with the configurator tool or anything else, users just first logon experience drives the behavior of the device down the road. So it's a great corporate-owned capability that's coming out in the Windows 10 timeframe in partnership with Intune and Azure Active Directory. So that's the only one I really wanted to talk about. It's been touched on this week, but I think it's a key corporate enrollment scenario that'll be coming in Windows 10. And with that, I think we are to the related content, which I think this is it for our track. Today is our last session. There's a parallel session going on at the same time, but I'm guessing you're not going to make that one. There's the standard resources. Valuations are great. We love those. And that's it. So we do have 10 minutes and 26 seconds left if there are any questions, or we can take questions up at the stage. But thank you guys for coming out on an early morning on a Friday. Appreciate you attending and sticking around.